I want to begin a short little series on Sunday nights I've called Stepping Stones. Stepping Stones. And just to, you know, I was praying and asking the Lord for wisdom and direction, and I've got a little book by Warren Wiersbe, and it's entitled Bumps Are What You Climb On. And as I gleaned through that book again, I thought, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here that'll give me some ideas of things. We need some encouragement. And these are just going to be encouraging messages to lift us up and encourage us. And I'm not preaching his book, but I'm going to use some of his the scriptures that he suggests to just give us some heading in different directions in the next few weeks on just trying to build us up and stepping stones to help us to grow spiritually and help us to become encouraged and not be defeated and discouraged and down. And one of the little stories that Wiersbe told in his book that really caught my attention is that he was telling a story about a little boy and his sister that were climbing up in the hills. And they were in a mountainous area. And as they were climbing, his little sister said to him, "Why isn't this path smoother? It's so rough and it's rocky and stony." And her brother said, "Sure, the bumps are what you climb on." And you know, that really is a good picture for us today in life. Life is full of bumps. And all of us have gone through our bumps and climbed over the rocks. And we face things all the time that are struggles, things that are trying to get us down. And that's part of the Christian life. Paul talked about pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul knew what it was like to go through rough, rocky roads and the rough times of life. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, remember he describing the roads of really the not really the road of salvation, of course, per se, but the road of Christianity. He said there's a broad road and there's a narrow road. And the narrow road is a road that is compressed and narrow and hard to get through. It's difficult. And so we see throughout Scripture the illustration of difficulties in life. We can think of lots of people in the Bible that had difficulties in their lives. And of Job, of course, stands out primarily in our minds when we think about that. But when we think, you know, there's a host of kinds of troubles that can trouble us in life. Things of problems and losses and heartaches and setbacks and deaths and sickness and hardship. And the list goes on and on and on. Of things that we've all gone through that are difficult and they're bumps in the road. Sometimes they're just plain rocks in the road and it's hard to get past them. And sometimes there's a temptation to just say, it's too hard, I can't keep going, I'm going to turn back, God's being too hard on me. And some Christians actually get bitter at God because, God, you're letting too many hard, bad things into my life. And God doesn't want us to do that, of course. But there is sometimes those kind of temptations. But God wants us to turn to him for help to make the bumps in the road, the rocks in the road, to be not stumbling blocks, but stepping stones. To be able to climb over and to grow spiritually. And in this year, as we face the difficulties that will come into your life and mine, when we face one of those difficulties, it can either be a stumbling block and we'll land on our face and get upset with God, or it can be a stepping stone to help us to grow closer to God. And Psalm 91 is a great psalm that helps us to see how we can turn to God and how it can be a help to us in times of these troubles. And so tonight I want us to look at that. But as we begin, the verse that really sticks out as fitting in with this illustration I've just given is verses 11 and 12. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Look at those, and then we're going to go back to the beginning and start at the beginning. But verse number 11 says, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Instead of tripping over the stones, we need to climb over them in victory. And so we need God's help. And God promises, he gives promises to those that will do certain things. If they will abide in him, God says, "I promise, I'll help you through these things." And so, as we look at this passage, I find several tips in this psalm that can help us to use the bumps to climb on. And notice with me, first of all, that we need to hold God's hand as we climb. We need to hold God's hand as we climb. Look at verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now think about what He's just said here. He's addressing this to believers, of course. And He starts out and shows us that God is qualified to guide us in life. He is qualified to do that. Notice there's four different titles given to God in these two verses. He starts out and He says He is the Most High. That's the Hebrew word Elyon. He's the highest. He's the supreme. There's no one higher than Him. And so that qualifies Him as being superior over all other people or beings that could help us. We find that He is the Almighty. That's the word Shaddai. He's the El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God, the one who is powerful. There's none greater than Him. I noticed in one lexicon, they were describing this in an ancient Hebrew lexicon. They said that this Shaddai had to do with a mother's care of her children and how she had tender care over her children and was greatly passionate toward them. And so blending that with the general idea of God being mighty, the two of them together gives us great comfort because God is mighty and able and caring for us. He is also the Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah is God's name that describes His self-existence, His eternality. He has always been and always will be and never changes. And so He is a stable God. So we've seen so far that He is supreme, that He is mighty and powerful and omnipotent, and that He is eternal, self-existent, always there, never changing. And then He describes Him as God, the word Elohim, the triune God, the God who is plural in His being. He is a God who is our sovereign. And He sees your path from the beginning to the end. And so when we're traveling down life's path and there's rocks in the road and life is not easy and troubles come our way and a disaster happens and something we feel like, I don't think I can cope with this, takes place, we need to remember that God is the Most High. He's the Almighty. He's the Jehovah of the universe. And He is our God, the triune Supreme God. And by remembering these things, it will help us and it'll give us grace during those troubled times. And God has successfully traveled the path before us. It's important for us to know that. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18 is a verse that you need to tuck away in your memory. Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that He has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." Word sucker there is not something you put in your mouth and suck on. It means to help. He is one who is able to help those who are tempted or go through trials. Because God has already been there, done that. And so God says, I am experiencing this. So when Jesus Christ came to this earth, Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, but He also came to show us what life was like lived as a perfect human being. And Jesus Christ went through all the struggles and troubles of life. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, He didn't go through the hardships I'm going through. Yes, but He went through things we'll never go through. He endured temptations far greater than any of us will ever endure because Satan gave Him both barrels as hard as he could and with full power, and Jesus resisted it for 40 days. And then Satan finally said, I can't do it. I give up. And he left. I highly doubt that there's ever been a time when Satan worked so hard on me that he finally gave up. More likely, I gave in before he gave up. That's the way it usually happens when he's pressing us hard. But Jesus endured and didn't give up. And so Jesus is able to say, I am able to help you when you are going through these hard times. So we see here, first of all, God's qualification, but we see also God's presence gives us comfort. God's presence gives us comfort. He says that He is a secret place of hiding. Notice here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Hiding place. When I was a boy, my brother and I used to love to build little hideouts in our barn. We'd go up in the barn with all the bales of hay there, and we'd dig tunnels in the bales of hay and rearrange them, and we'd have our little secret places, and you could crawl way down in there, and nobody would know where you were, and we're all hiding away. Those were our little secret places. But you know, God has got a secret place where no one can find us, and the devil can't get to us. And he says that he is our secret place. He's also our shadow. The shadow that cools during the heat of the day. You know, the times when troubles are heating us and causing us to sweat in panic and frustration, God says, I am there to be your shadow. I will be your shadow of refuge. He says we can hide under the shadow of the Almighty. He also tells us in verse number 2 that he is a refuge from danger. He's our refuge. The place that we can run to, a shelter in time of storm. He will protect us from the devil's plots. The book of Job assures us that Satan can do nothing except he first of all has to receive God's blessing to do it. He can't. Satan can never put you or me through a trial or a hardship or a difficulty without God's permission. And God will only permit it if it's something that God knows is going to be of help to us. And so that is an encouragement, because sometimes we face some very difficult things. Sometimes you look at some of the situations in life and say, I just don't understand. I don't know how I can cope with this. I don't know how I can handle this. This is beyond my ability. And it may be beyond our ability, but it's not beyond God's ability. And God said, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High and under my shadow, he said, I will be there to help you and I will be a refuge to you in that time of danger. He also tells us that he is our fortress. He's my refuge and my fortress. A fortress was a safe stronghold, a castle, a place where they could go in time of danger. And remember, in the minds of the people in Israel, they lived in a totally different culture. We don't understand that. We can't comprehend that in our culture today. They were always in fear of being attacked by the enemies. And how that the enemy could come in and sweep through a city that was not walled and just steal everything and take the people and harm them and kill them and carry things away that they wanted. It was a time of fear and they needed a stronghold. And so they would have places, that, even in the city, they would have strongholds. And we remember, we read in the book of Judges of how they had towers that they used as strongholds, and they would go into the tower for protection and safety. And even that sometimes wasn't all that safe because they would set fire to it and then the people would die of smoke inhalation. And so it was, but they had these fortresses, places of safety, and God says, I am your fortress. I am your safety. I will protect you. I am your stronghold. And so we see here that God is qualified to help us. He's qualified as our guide, and if we hold his hand, he will help us through the difficult times in life. The better we know God, the easier we can cope with the trials of life. Notice also here, before we leave these two verses, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Two words here that are very key, dwell and abide. We need to dwell. Dwell means to stay there. This is where I'm going to park. This is where I'm going to be. And God says, if you stay close to me, I will protect you. Again, I remember watching a mother hen with her chicks. And when the dog or a cat would come near, she would make a clucking sound and all the chicks would come running. She'd stick her wings out and she'd get as fierce as she could get and defend those little chicks. And that's the way God is saying here, you stay close to me, I'll protect you. But folks, that's why it's utterly important that we stay close to God. And we know that, but in reality, sometimes we get careless. God says, the only time you're going to be safe is if you're close to me. And all of these promises he gives us in this psalm are there for us if we stay close to God. But if we're not close to God, if we're not abiding in His closeness, and so you need to ask yourself, how close am I to God right now? Have I been reading His Word? Have I been meditating on the Scriptures? Have I been walking with God? Have I been spending sweet time in prayer with the Lord? How close to God am I right now? And if we're not as close to God as we ought to be, we're in a dangerous situation when the troubles come because we are not there close to Him, ready to be able to run to His shelter, run to His fortress, and to hide under His wings. We need to be there close to God. So He urges us. He says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But then we see a second tip, and that is that to help us to use the bumps of life as stepping stones, we must trust God's omnipotence. We need to trust His omnipotence. Verses 3 to 13. You know, it's important for us to keep in mind that God sees the stones in our pathway from a different perspective than we do. Sometimes we look at those things and say, how could God let this happen to me? How could God take that loved one from me? How could God allow this harm to come to mind? How could God let me get sick like this? How could God allow those terrible things? Why would God do that? What have I done? And sometimes Job was going through the struggles, and Job went through it for a long time. And Job finally got to the point where he just saying, God, I don't understand. Why are you doing this to me? I didn't do anything that I know of wrong. And Job couldn't see what God could see, but God saw from a different perspective. And in Job's life, God saw the whole thing as a plot from the devil to try to prove to God that Job would turn his back on God. And God said, no, he won't. Job will be faithful to me. And so God allowed those troubles in his life just to prove to Satan that Job was loyal to God. But Job didn't know all that. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we go through troubles and trials and we think, why are these happening? I don't know. Is God trying to show Satan something? Maybe. But we're not probably as holy and righteous as Job was. But God knows what He's doing. He knows what we need. He knows what will strengthen us. He knows what will build us up. And God's in control, but God doesn't always keep the hardships away from us. The psalmist assures us that God's omnipotent care will take care of us and meet our needs. Down in verse number 15, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I'll come back. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God says, I'm going to take care of him. I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. And so God knows those needs. Now, as we think about this, it's important for us to remember that His care is always sufficient. His care is always sufficient. Verse number 3, He says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. What's a snare? A snare is a trap. Usually it's a rope trap or a wire trap that they hang down and the animal steps in it or he walks into it and it grabs him. Holds him up and can't get loose. And he says, I will, and they were used that typically for birds. A fowler is a somebody that catches birds, like a hunter is one that catches animals. All right? So he says, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. All right? So God says here, He's going to take care of us and to care for us to deliver us from danger and to cover us with protection. Verse number 4, He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings shalt thou trust. All right, the picture of the mother hen again, protecting her little chicks. And he says, I'm going to cover them with my feathers and protect them with my wings. So God's covering protection. We see his shield and protection in verse number 4 as well. He says, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The shield and buckler are very close to the same. I look at them up and the words both say they're shields. But it's some sort, there's probably a slight difference between the shield and the buckler. Two different kinds of shields. But God says, I'm your shield. I'm going to protect you from the dangers of the enemy. And if you stay close to me, I will protect you. I will shield you. Remember over in Ephesians chapter 6, the verses of the spiritual armor, verse number 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. God is able also to calm our fears in verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So he talks about the terrifying things that happen at night, the battles and the break-ins during the day, the arrow that flies by day. Verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. All right, so there's pestilence or pandemics and disease and problems that come to attack us in the darkness. And then the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You know, the natural disasters, there's all kinds of natural disasters that take place. Cyclones, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other fire and various things that can damage and harm. And God says, I'm there to protect you. I'm there to keep you. And He's able to protect us from death, verses 7 and 8. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Every time I go through Psalm 91, I remember a friend of mine who's gone to be with the Lord now. His name was Dr. Ron Brooks. Ron Brooks was a pilot in the Vietnam War. Extremely good pilot, a helicopter pilot. And in Vietnam, many times he was assigned, because he was so good at his job, he was assigned some of the most dangerous of the missions. And he'd have to fly in over an area that they were getting ready to conquer, and they'd fly in there, and he'd fly in just a few feet off of the ground and spray some kind of a cloud to cover the area so that they could sneak in there. And the enemy was shooting at his helicopter with their machine guns as he would fly across there. And he had his co-pilot sitting with him, and he kept trying to witness to his co-pilot and telling him about Christ. And his co-pilot just didn't want to hear about it. And one day they flew one of these missions, and many times they were shot down. There was at least two different times he was shot down, and he jumped out of the helicopter and landed in the rice paddies, and he's laying down in the mud in the rice paddies, and the bullets are flying over his head, and God is protecting him all this time until his buddies were able to get in there and run back the enemy and get them out of there. God protected him. But this one time they were flying in with one of these dangerous missions real low to the ground, and they sped through there at high speed and dropped the substance they were supposed to be dropping to clear the ground and prepare the way. And they pulled back in and they landed their helicopter. And he says to his buddy, he says, well, we made it. And his buddy went, fell over, and he had a bullet right between his eyes. And as they examined the helicopter, the bullet came right up through the helicopter toward Ron. It hit a piece of metal and deflected and hit his buddy. God protected him. God met his needs. And over again, God provided for him and took care of him. And, you know, there's other stories he would tell of his protection, of God's meeting that need. But these are just examples. And God can do that in real life for us. Sometimes we think, well, that only happens to others. It doesn't happen to me. But God says if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, God will meet our needs and protect us. Now, that doesn't guarantee that we'll never have any problems as long as we walk with God. That's not the point. Job had problems and he walked with God. But God will never allow anything in our lives that isn't for our good and for His glory. And we can count on that and depend on that. God's promising here, He will take care of us, He will meet our needs, even if He takes us through these troubles and through these trials. We see also that His care it excels for those who dwell with Him. He emphasizes that again. And in verse number 9, he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. The word habitation there means dwelling. It's the same word. It means to dwell. He says, you have made God your dwelling. You have stayed close to God. Because you've done that, because you have done that, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. God says, I'm going to take care of you because you have put me first. We see in verses 11 and 12, for he shall give his angels charge of thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is not a promise to everybody. This is not a promise that every Christian can claim. Look closely. He said it is to those who make God their dwelling. Those who are close to God, who are dwelling with God, who are walking close to God, he said, those can claim this. I will take care of them. I will provide for them. I will meet their needs. And of all the people that have ever walked on this earth, the one person who could claim that without hesitation was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, when he was tempted by Satan quoted this passage. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 6, during the temptation of Christ, we read, and he said unto him, Satan said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus didn't listen. He didn't fall for that. But because Jesus was dwelling together with God, his Father, he had nothing to fear. And God gave him strength and victory. And this promise belonged to him. And he will give them victory over harmful beasts. Verse number 13. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt trample under feet. Now this doesn't give people the right to just say, well, I'm not scared of anything. I can walk right into the lions. Then it won't hurt me at all. Or I can play with poisonous snakes. And there's been Christians in times in history that have acted foolishly like that. And they said, well, poison snakes won't hurt us. Yeah, they end up getting bit and die. God's not saying we can play with these things. He's saying if there's a situation where you face something that is dangerous, God can protect you. Once again, Ron Brooks tells of one of his night duties there in Vietnam. And he was in a situation where he was responsible to go around and visit different bunkers at night to check on the people because he was an officer. And as he was traveling from one bunker to the next, if there was every few minutes, they automatically shot off flares to lighten up the whole sky so they could see if any of the enemy was approaching. And if that ever happened, you were out in the open, you had to immediately hit the ground as fast as you could, because if you didn't, you'd be shot full of holes. Because the enemy was always watching. As soon as the flares went off, if they saw somebody standing, they'd get them. And this one time, he was walking between bunkers and the flare went off. And he immediately went down, and when he did, he felt something soft. And he thought, oh no. And as soon as the flare came on, right in front of him was a king cobra staring him in the face. And he said, Lord, help me. And the cobra just slithered off and went away. But an example, God protected him. And God didn't have to do that, but God did. And so God says here, this psalm is an amazing psalm. But then we find the last five verses there, 14 to 16, three verses, that God gives us another tip, and that is, we need to live so that we can claim God's promises. Again, he's emphasizing this. Three times now he's told us. In the very first part he says you need to dwell with God. In verse number 9 he says you need to dwell with God. And now again here in verse number 14 he says, because he has set his love upon me. That is not talking about God. Look at it carefully. All this up to this point it's been talking about God. In verse number 14, but because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. God said, because this person who dwells with me has set his love upon me, I'm going to deliver him. So the love is coming from the person who is dwelling with God. So he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He loves me and he knows my name. There's an intimacy there. He knows me personally. One lexicon had interesting, this same Hebrew lexicon, an interesting definition here. And he said that the root of the word refers to a sweet aroma that is carried on the wind. And I thought, how does that apply? And as I got to thinking about that, the idea is, He says, you know me so well that you can smell my aroma on the wind. You know what I am like. You know what I smell like. You know what I am like to be around. And you know, that is that it's true, we all have our own scent. Sometimes we don't really think about that, but you go to a foreign country and all of a sudden you realize these people have a scent that I wasn't used to. And it isn't always just body odor, it's just the way they smell. They're different. And so the idea here is to have a close relationship with God, so much so that we love God. And God said, if you love me and you have that close, intimate relationship with me, then these promises that I'm making you right here belong to you. And he said that, you know, this is important. Now, may we passionately have that as our goal, to be that close to God. And he says, therefore, because he loves me. Look at that, therefore. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. God promises here that he will deliver him, cause him to escape, cause him to flee from a bad situation, the life's dangers. And he says, I will answer him when he calls me. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Charles Spurgeon asks this question about this verse. He says, were there ever words fuller of consolation than these? He shall call upon me and I will answer him. That is amazing. God said, you call upon me, I will answer you. And that's what we want when we pray. Anybody that prays without wanting God to answer him is just going through the motions. We ought to have a passionate desire. God, I want you to answer me. And sometimes, sadly, we want him to answer it our way or no way. But God's not saying that. He's saying, I will give you the answer that is right if you passionately love me and desire to stay close to me. He said, I will answer you. And then he said that he will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will rescue him. I will honor him. I will give him long life. And I will show him my salvation. And remember, the word salvation in the Bible doesn't always refer to eternal rescue from hell. It could be either in this verse. I'm not sure which he's talking about here. But he says, I will show him my salvation. It could mean, the word literally means deliverance. All right? God will show him my deliverance. Whether it be deliverance from troubles and problems in life, the bumps that we come across, or whether it's deliverance that will lead us to eternal destiny. He is talking here at the end. He says, talking about long life, I'll satisfy him and I'll show him my salvation. So it could be that he's talking about eternal deliverance, but it doesn't make that clear. Either way, we want God's deliverance. We want to know that we're on our way to heaven, but we also want God's help during troubles. And every time we're going through life and we come across another bump in the road, and we feel like it's too hard, I can't keep going, I can't keep pushing, I can't do this, it's too hard, we need to remember, God has it there for a purpose. And God knows what he's doing. And we can depend upon him. But God says, what I want from you is for you to dwell with me. I want you to abide with me. I want you to be close to me. I want you to love me. I want you to stay near me and get to know me intimately. Then I will be to you what you need. And oh, how we need that. That is a reminder. This psalm is a great reminder in times when we're feeling down and discouraged and defeated and going through sickness and hardship and feeling just miserable. And we just say, oh, I can't cope with this anymore. We need to remember God's in control. And go back to this psalm. As I've had to do and think about this week, you know, and pondering this and thinking, Lord, what I need is I need a closer walk with you. I need a closer walk with God. And the closer I get to God, the more I'll be able to cope with the bumps in life and climb on them instead of tripping and falling. And so I challenge you this night to remember that the bumps are what you climb on. And instead of tripping and falling, draw close to the Lord and climb over the bumps with him. God will help you if you'll do that.